come to order on the 64th legislative day. Members, please vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 16 members present this morning. Senators Frank and Rohde are excused from the call of the Senate.
Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, Pastor John Campbell of the Aldergate Methodist Church.
Let us pray. God of love, we are travelers in the world, prone to erratic changes of course, to losing sight of our goals, to becoming discouraged by the journey that we will hitch a ride on anything that comes along. Help us on our way, O God. If we change course, let it not be in self-interest, but in order to share love with another traveler. If we lose sight of our goals, let our quest bring us, as your curious people, to honest searching. If we become weary and discouraged and forget you are with us, let it lead to recognition of our need for you. As we travel in a world that sometimes seems a trackless, hostile wilderness, we ask that your spirit sustain, encourage, and enable us to go on. After all, it's Monday, Lord, and we need all the help we can get. Amen.
Would Senator Sturgiolowski please lead us in the pledge this morning?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer is spread on the journal. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journals for the 61st, 62nd, and 63rd legislative days.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the journals be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journals are approved as certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Curtula.
President. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce, on behalf of Senator Szymanski and myself, a very distinguished guest from Cordova today, Jane Kohler Jensen.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure this morning to introduce to you a lovely lady from Eielson Air Force Base. She's a senior at the Eielson High School. She's a volunteer in my office for the next 2 weeks, Amy Groff.
Amy. Senator Sturgiolowski.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm very pleased to introduce two guests in our gallery here. Some of you will be talking to these two today. David Harrison is here, the Executive Director of the Northwest Policy Center, which is a new University of Washington program. It's been established to help elected officials and other leaders in the Northwest, including Alaska, to devise and implement new strategies for economic vitality and to work together on issues. Representative Helen Byrne is a member of the Northwest Leadership Council, along with other Alaskans, Lee Gorsuch and Perry Eaton, giving advice and counsel on how Alaska might be involved. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the far gallery, I have a constituent there from the House District 26, Laura Bill, who is the assistant manager of the Bristol Bay Telephone Co-op. And I might add that I was informed her father was the first commissioner of transportation under Egan. Laura, welcome.
Further introductions? Senate will stand at ease. Order. Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House.
Message dated March 10. Mr. President, the House has passed and returned Senate Concurrent Resolution number 23 relating to a health care cost containment task force. This has been sent to enrolling. Message dated March 10, Mr. President, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration House Joint Resolution number 25 by Representatives Davidson, Cotton, Hoffman, Grusendorf, Copen, and Navarre, Grunberg, Gall, Menard, Taylor, Jacko, Ellis, Rieger, M. Davis, Hudson, Zawacki, Schultz, Collins, Cato, Swackhammer, Sponholz, Lehman, and Hanley, relating to support for the federal Salt and Stahl Kennedy Grants Program and the role of industry-directed private foundations in the program.
Resources Committee.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 97, Finance, by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Physical and Occupational Therapists, extending the termination date of the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 148, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Making Corrective Amendments to the Alaska Statutes as Recommended by the Reviser of Statutes and Providing for an Effective Date.
Judiciary.
Those are the messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of Standing Committees.
The Health, Education, Social Services Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2, Family Support Task Force. Majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2, HESS, attached to letter of intent and recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring Senators Jones, Kelly, and Duncan. There is a fiscal note attached. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 10, Deadlines for Action on Funding of Public Education, effective date. The majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturzaluski, Chair, concurring Senators Elias and Kelly and Pertula. Senate Bill Number 10 is on today's calendar. Senate Bill Number 174, Letters of Credit Issued by Banks. A majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturzaluski, Chair, concurring Senators Eliason and Pertula. Senate Bill Number 174 is on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 35 by Senators Jones, Jaroff, Sturzaluski, Halford, Kelly, Fisher, Duncan, Coghill, Adams, Fakes, and Eliason, requesting the Veterans Administration and the Department of Defense to consider the importance of community health care for veterans.
Health, Education, Social Services.
That is the only resolution for introduction this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 41 by Senators Kurtula and Rohde, entitled An Act Dividing the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities into two principal departments, providing for an effective date.
Transportation, State Affairs, Finance.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 81, entitled by Senators Duncan, Sturzaluski, Pierce, and Eliason, entitled An Act Relating to Educational Programs for School Children Who Are at Risk of Withdrawing from School Before High School Graduation and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 215 by Senator Duncan, entitled An Act Relating to Retirement Credit in the Public Employees Retirement System for Employees of the Former Alaska State Development Corporation.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 216 by Senator Duncan, entitled An Act Relating to Credit under the Public Employees Retirement System for National Guard Service.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 217 by Senator Fisher, entitled An Act Relating to a Special Permanent Fund Dividend and Providing for an Effective Date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 218 by Senator Fisher, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Dividend Fund for Payment of Special Permanent Fund Dividends and Providing for an Effective Date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 219 by Senators Kurtula and Szymanski, entitled An Act Relating to Birth Certificates.
Health, Education, Social Services, and it has a finance implication too, so we'll have to go to finance.
Senate Bill Number 220 by Senators Kurtula, Szymanski, and Kelly, entitled An Act Authorizing Certain Transmission Lines and Approving Construction Costs for Those Lines and Providing for an Effective Date.
Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Those are the bills for introduction this morning.
Consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Secretary please read the first item of the business on today's calendar? Right after, Senator Ewing.
Mr. President, I would move to that we move to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests.
I'd like to introduce, and she's not my constituent, but possibly Senator Fakes or Senator Kurtula's, I'm not sure. Dr. Lydia Hayes is over in the gallery, and I just wanted to make sure she wasn't missed over there.
Would the Secretary please note the presence in the chambers of Senators Binkley and Duncan and read the first order of business on today's calendar.
Senate Bill Number 10 by Senators Coghill, Fakes, Elias, and Rohde, Frank, Sturgiluski, Kelly, Helfrich, Kurtula, and Pierce for an act entitled An Act Related to Deadlines for Action on Funding of Public Education and Providing for Effective Date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 10, Hess, and majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring Senators Jones and Duncan. Zero fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 10, Finance, and do pass. The report was signed by Senators Ewing and Binkley, Senator Ewing, co-chair, concurring Senators Fisher, Pierce, Frank, and Duncan. Senator Binkley, co-chair, signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Sturgiluski, chair, concurring Senators Elias and Kelly and Kurtula. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move an unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, Finance, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, Finance Committee substitute is adopted for Senate Bill 10.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 10, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to deadlines for action on funding of public education and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Senator Sturgiluski, Coghill, and Kurtula, page 1, line 24, change April 20 to April 30.
Senator Sturgiluski.
I would move to amend committee substitute the adoption of committee of the amendment number 1 to the committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 10, Finance. Mr. President, I will not ask for unanimous consent. I first have to make an apology to the members of the Finance Committee that this issue did not come to my attention early enough to appear before Finance or to bring it to the attention of Rules. But basically what the purpose of the amendment, if I could explain the timing, the bill, the basic bill by Senator Coghill sets up a timeline for the first time to put into law when the legislature would appropriate funds for the foundation program, and that's as of April 7th. The way the bill before us is designed, it calls for the borough school board to submit the budget for the following year to the borough assembly on April 20th. And there's a similar legislation in the House. They use the date of the 30th. And there's been interest on the part of local municipalities and school boards feeling that with just 2 weeks, that's simply not enough time, and that they would prefer to have the longer period of time, and that's the reason that we have the amendment changing the April 20th date to April 30. Then the next step is that the borough assembly has 30 days after that to furnish the school board with a statement of the sum of the local appropriation. And I think it will work better in terms of the local communities and the relationship between the school board and the borough assemblies. And I would ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Without objection, the amendment number 1 is adopted. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Halford.
Unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, Finance, amended Senate, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, Finance, is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 10, Finance, amended, an act relating to deadlines for action on funding of public education and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Coghill.
Just briefly, this is an old friend that's been around for a long time, and what we're trying to do here is to ease the pressure on the local governments as they have to put their school budgets together. And I think that it's a real good example of the art of compromise. We started out with March the 14th, and we went to the March the 16th, and we went to April the 1st, and from April the 1st to April the 7th. And I think that now with the amendment, at least we've got a flow where that the legislature will establish the pass through the big dollar amount that goes to the local school boards, and gives us a good flow. As mayor of Nenana for 21 years, it was always our big crunch, and the budget was trying to second guess what the legislature was going to do. And I think that this will give us an easy flow as far as local government's concerned. I urge passage.
Further discussion? Senator Cotulla.
It does take, Mr. President, does take the educational component, separate it from the balance of the budget, but I think it's probably entirely fitting because the Constitution itself provides a special area for support for education. It is the state's responsibility for education in the state, so I think it's the correct thing to do.
Further discussion? Question before the Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to make one comment on the bill. I do support the legislation, but I think I still am convinced that there's a conflict in the drafting language of this bill. And we asked for a legal opinion in finance, and the legal opinion came back just about as confusing as the bill is. But I wanted to point it out for the record, and perhaps somewhere along the line someone wants to look at this again. If you look on page 1, for example, line 11, and begin reading there, the school construction account is established. Funds to carry out the provisions of this section may be appropriated annually by the legislature to the account. May be appropriated. The next line says, before April 7th, the legislature shall appropriate funds. Seems to me that may appropriate, shall appropriate are in conflict. In one case, it's permissive. The other case is mandatory. Same thing appears on the second page when it talks about the school foundation fund. We got a legal opinion back that says, no, may and shall don't conflict. I didn't understand that for sure. I think it does. I think this more or less is, we end up here with a letter of intent rather than binding statute. And I wanted to point that out. I think that legal question has to be looked at again, but it wasn't worth pursuing upstairs. We need to get a different attorney on the case, I think. And our resident attorney is not here today, unfortunately. I just wanted to point that out as what I think is conflict in the statute.
Without further discussion, the question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, Finance, as amended, has passed the body by a vote of 18 yeas and no noes. Senator Halford.
Unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, Finance, amended Senate, be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause passes.
Senate Bill number 174 by Senators Strzelczewski and Pierce for an act entitled an act lend to letters of credit issued by banks. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill, Rohde, and Fakes. Zero fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Binkley, co-chair, concurring Senator Jaroff, Duncan, Frank, Pierce, Fisher, and Ewan. Zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, chair, concurring Senators Elias and Cotulla.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford?
Consent that Senate Bill 174 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 174 is in third reading.
Senate Bill number 174, an act relating to letters of credit issued by the banks.
Is there any discussion? Senator Strzelczewski.
President, just very briefly, this is supported by the Mr. Kirkpatrick, the Director of the Division of Banking and Securities. It's a very simple thing to correct what is a disparity between state chartered banks and the nationally chartered banks. There's no time limit in existence on letters of credit that are issued by the nationally chartered banks, but the state charter banks have been limited to 1 year, and obviously that, as pointed out by the letter that I distributed for your information, creates some unnecessary cost and a problem in competitive areas. So I would request the support of the body on this.
Further discussion? Question before the Senate is, shall Senate Bill 174 pass the body? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Bill 174 has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays.
Citation in memoriam, Farrell Watts Campbell by Senators Duncan, Rody, Jones, Eliason, and Halford, Representatives Ulmer and Hudson.
Senator Curtula.
Ask unanimous consent to be shown as a co-sponsor of the memoriam for Farrell Campbell. He was a very close friend of mine.
Without objection, Senator Curtula be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator
Mr. President,
Coghill.
Same request.
Without objection, Senator Coghill will be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citation appearing on today's calendar be adopted.
Without objection, the citation is adopted. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection, it's taken up a special order of business. Madam Secretary.
Honoring the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women by Representatives Kokanen, Brown, Collins, Ellis, Grunberg, Navarre, Phillips, and Ulmer, Senators Fahrenkamp, Pierce, Halford, Sturgulowski, Fake, Szymanski, Jones, Prochot, Frank, Kelly, and Ewing.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the resolution.
Without objection, Senator Curtula. Without objection, Senator
Same
Bigley.
Motion.
Without objection, Senator Duncan.
Motion.
Without objection, Senator Zaroff. Without objection, Senator Fisher.
Same motion.
That take care of everybody? Senator Eliason.
Same motion.
Without objection. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citation be approved by the Senate.
Citation is approved without objection. Unfinished business. Senator Szymanski.
Yes, I move and ask unanimous consent I'll be shown as co-sponsor of Senate Bill 10, Act relating deadlines for actions and funding of public education.
Without objection, Senator Szymanski will be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Ewing.
Same motion.
Without objection, Senator Ewing will be shown.
Same
Senator
request.
Binkley. Without objection, Senator Binkley will be shown. Further unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Fisher.
Thank you. Today at 3:30, we have one bill we're going to have the first public hearing, and probably there'll be another one after this. It's Senate Bill 100, State Aid for School Construction.
Further announcement, Senator Sturgulowski.
Mr. President, yes, there'll be a Rules Committee meeting immediately after this session in the Bell's room. And the bills would be HB 61, People with Disabilities, HB 71, Elevator Safety Standards, SB 65, Veterans Motor Vehicle License Plates, SB 76, Release of Fish and Game Confidential Records, SB 110, Airport Security Police, SB 133, Repeal of Probation Fee Authorization, SB 166, Medicaid Payments to Health Facilities, and SR 9, Dedication of Senate Galleries.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today at noon in the Senate Finance Committee room, the Alaska Support Industry Alliance will be making an important presentation to interested legislators. Members of the Alliance's Board of Directors will brief senators and representatives on their legislative priorities and objectives. Specifically, the Alliance will present its positions on the issues of state spending and state revenues. And that's going to start at 12.
Senator Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today in State Affairs, we'll be taking up at 1:30 SB 145 relating to to a special appropriation for a grant to the Alaska Native Cultural Center, and also SB 170, an act relating to the state procurement code. Also, Mr. President, the Children's Caucus is meeting today, as they do most Mondays. The Children's Caucus will be meeting at noon in the Butrovich Room.
Further announcements? Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, Labor and Commerce meet this afternoon at 3:30 in the Belts Room. We're taking up House Bill 5, an act amending the composition and membership of the Correctional Industries Commission and providing for effective date. House Bill 75, an act relating to construction contracting, and House Bill 82, an act relating to delivery of supplies. 3:30 Belts.
Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move an unanimous consent that I would be given the floor to speak on this recent Saturday meeting in Anchorage.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to brief the body briefly here on Monday while it was fresh in everybody's mind after the 497 people that attended at East High School for the budget forum. I think it was a big surprise, I think, for probably many of the people that ended up organizing it, because most of the people that were there came up. There were 23 groups that came back and essentially said that we need to reduce the budget. It was very interesting when we looked at the revenue side of things. We looked at some of the measures that could be instituted as far as revenue. One of the things that came up was the question regarding the economic limit factor. I believe out of 23 groups, there were only two out of 23 that wanted to make that change. So it was very, very clear that they did not want to see any change in that. It was almost 10-1 against any kind of an economic limit factor change. The only taxes that they even saw as possible were alcohol and cigarette tax. Those were the two most popular. Otherwise, the rest of the revenues, personal income tax, sales tax, all went down in flames. But there were obviously interested parties wanting to reduce the budget. That was the general consensus. I want to report that back to the full body while it was fresh in everybody's mind. And I want to thank everybody that was up there and attended. And I think it was a rather interesting day. We got a lot of input from the public, and I think the governor's office is rather surprised.
Senator Szymanski.
Well, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given a privilege to speak on a similar subject.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you. I appreciate the report from the senator from Anchorage, because I had an opportunity to, during the same period of time, to go to one of my communities, city of Valdez, and I actually met with two groups of people down there. We met with a citizens group, which we did the same exercise with, had very similar results, except for there was a kind of a split at the citizens group level on whether or not we should or should not raise the economic limit factor revenues or modify the economic limit factor. Generally speaking, nobody wants to touch the permanent fund, but I think surprising was another group that I met with that was assembled by Alyeska Pipeline, the Alyeska Pipeline Civic Action Program, because some of the people working at the terminal didn't have an opportunity to come over and participate. We had an opportunity to meet with them. It varied between 30 and 50 people in the room at any given time. And unlike the results of the poll that the previous senator mentioned, we took a poll of the people in that room. We asked them specifically, and I think the quote-unquote question that I asked was, based on all the discussion we had extensive discussion related to the economic limit factor, would you support modifying the economic limit factor, thus producing $140 million in additional revenue to the state of Alaska? The poll results came back, 22 yeses, 12 noes, 2 undecided. In other words, 61% of the Alyeska employees assembled supported the economic limit factor modification, 33% said no, and 2 were undecided. Now, I don't know whether or not it makes a whole lot of difference on how you poll or where you poll, but it does vary from time to time as to where you're at and how people look at the issues. But I think that what it is important is that there are some compelling issues out there that we're going to need to address before we leave this session. And most of the public that I've met with, whether it was in Seward, Kenai,
Valdez, have all indicated that we have to keep our hands off the permanent fund, avoid any resemblance of a sales tax, but give a hard look at other additional revenues.
Further special order, Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject, a trip back into the district.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I left on Wednesday night, spent Thursday and Friday in the district. We had a dedication of the community center at Nenana to the son that I lost this summer. On Thursday, I married off one of my sons. So it was busy as far as the private side of it concerned. But in the process, I traveled 430 miles with my little pickup, made three meetings, community meetings, in Healy, Nenana, and North Pole. And I, too, discussed the big subject was, of course, the brochure, the $38,000 brochure that was established by the summit people. And, of course, was the first question was, who put the questionnaire together? Because in no place in the questionnaire does it say reduce government. It just says, shall we cut this motherhood issue or shall we cut that motherhood issue? So they say reduce the budget. And they ask me, well, what would you recommend? And I said, just take a red pencil and put across it, reduce the government. But they also were very much opposed to any new kind of taxes. They said that we have too big a government. But I think that the most unique thing in the meeting was that there's an old-timer that was very upset that we had the brochure so big that he had to go buy an extra 5-cent stamp because the cost of mailing it back is 30 cents, not 25 cents. And he wondered why we had to be big in our bigness of trying to cut the budget. But I thought that was rather unique. We also had the railroad matters in Healy was brought up, and the bridge at Sundrana, and of course the fisheries is the big item, the big ticket item in Nenana. And I think that we're getting the message, as I hear the other senators reporting back on the brochure, the $38,000 brochure that was sent out last week, is it's going to be interesting to find out when the deadline is, because one of the other issues Mr. President brought out is it says, when do we turn this back in, next session or next week, or because there's no indication as to when the Finance Committee needs that information.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent to discuss the Anchorage meetings.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the meetings in the Anchorage area really go to show that the public can wade through a cumbersome and difficult process and come up with the conclusion that they feel, that they think. And I don't think they had necessarily great advantage in the information, although I know that somebody said something about doing the budget in the last 3 days or the last 3 hours and hope the legislature didn't do that also. But they had, I think, a difficult format, as I've said. But in spite of that, they didn't come back and say reduce the budget. They said cut the budget, and they said it with a vengeance. They didn't say it with just small reductions. They said cut the budget before you look at any new revenue. And then when you look at new revenue, the only things they had strong support for were the so-called sin taxes, alcohol and tobacco. Other than that, there wasn't any real consensus on any new revenue. But it was very clear that it was not to look at new revenue at all until the budget is cut substantially. If you went through and added up the kind of cuts they proposed and the amounts that they proposed, they seem to be getting to the range of $300 to $400 million in reduction in state spending. I think that's a pretty substantial mandate. I think it was pretty strong. And of course, they said essentially, don't come back until we've done it. I think the people of Anchorage probably know what they're talking about as well as we do. And I hope we follow their recommendations.
Further special orders. Senator Jones.
Mr. President, may we revert to unfinished business?
Without objection, revert to unfinished business.
I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 10.
Without objection, Senator Jones' name will be added to number 10. Further special orders? Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Senate stands adjourned.